Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Nice to have you here. Holy smokes, a lot of visitors today. Oh, it's confirmation. Ross, do you remember your confirmation? Absolutely. I was thinking we should put you on the hot seat today. Yeah. It's nice to have you here. This is a special day, one of those milestones. If you think about it, in your life, there's maybe 5 milestones. Those of you who are how many are Lutheran? Raise your hand. Yeah, all of us were baptized as babies. Some of you who were baptized as Assembly of God or Baptists, and you were, 12, 13, 14, later on. That's still a milestone, but most of us Lutherans don't remember. So the first one, baptism, doesn't mean much. Second milestone is confirmation. So this is a special day for these 5 folks. Third milestone, the kids think it's when you get your driver's license. Fourth is graduation, high school graduation. That's a big day. Fifth is getting married. Sixth is maybe having your babies, some of them. And after that, it's, Smokey. You got 1 foot in there already. But see, that's our milestones. So this is a real special day for you guys. This is a real special day for all of us. This is a real special day for God because this is a reaffirmation of baptism vows. Your parents and sponsors said promises on your behalf. And today, each one of you know that you want to stand up and say, I want to follow Jesus. And that's... They were already doing the Tebow. You guys know what the Tebow is? Even you do, huh, Joan? Yeah, all the guys generally know Tebow. Anyway, they want to follow Jesus, so... We're going to talk about that. And during this service, I want you, each of you who went through confirmation, to try and remember things that you did, your confirmation day, and our prayers and our thoughts and our meditation. And the whole service will be a reminder. And I would invite you to reaffirm your baptismal vows right along with these students. The other thing I would highlight is when you see all these students standing up here, they're all taller than me. I'm going to get a little bench to stand up or something. Anyway, this is a very, very special day in all of our lives, but in the life of this church because you guys become an adult member and you are a part of the fabric of who we are at Bethesda. So when you guys leave today, you not only represent yourself and your families, but you represent this congregation, and most of all, you represent Jesus, so you're taking him with you. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, this wonderful day when 5 young people come forward to say they want to follow you. We pray as we say our prayers and sing our hymns that each one of us might reaffirm our promise to follow you as well. And we thank you for your unconditional love and the joy and the hope that you bring us. Help us to tap into that today. So send your spirit as we say our prayers and sing our hymns. Send your spirit as these young folks come forward to follow you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymns should be familiar to you all. I want you to sing them like we're all sitting on Walton's Mountain. Our first hymn is 661, I Love to Tell the Story. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness on page 1. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion with the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our friend Randy to sing his praises to our Lord.
Will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert, I will see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. Be and a thought, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leads me.
Today's reading comes from the third chapter of Acts, verses 12 through 19. After healing a crippled man, Peter preaches to the people how God's promises to Israel have been fulfilled in Jesus. Through the proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection, God is offering them forgiveness and restoration in Jesus' name. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him the perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did all your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." Here ends the reading. Today's psalm is the fourth psalm. Please read the bold print responsively. When you come to a bold R, please read the refrain, "The Lord does wonders for the faithful." Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord will hear me when I call. Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine abound.
In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me rest secure. The Lord does wonders for the faithful.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday of Easter is found in the 24th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 36th verse. In this account of an appearance after his resurrection, Jesus opens the minds of the disciples to understand him as the Messiah. Jesus convinces them that he has been raised and sends them on a mission to proclaim the message of repentance and forgiveness. Peace be with you.
They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish from Mille Lacs Lake. And he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing hymn 595. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Confirmation Day 2012, five young people come forward to say they want to follow Jesus. Some of them were practicing the Tebow. That was kind of fun. I was doing it all wrong. I was doing the thinker. The reason I was doing the thinker was because I've really struggled with what to say today. Confirmation is a special day, and to make promises before God and before family and before strangers that they want to wants to follow Jesus is a, you know, it's a courageous thing, and so I want to commend these young five people that are making their promises before God. But I've been struggling with what to say. And there's a couple of things that came out right away. First of all, I want to tell each one of these confirmation kids that they're very, very, very special. And I want to remind all of you who are gathered here that each one of you is very, very, very special as well. There's never been anyone created like you. In all the eons of time, no one has had your thoughts or feelings or creativity. or understanding, and no one ever will. You are one of a kind. You are very, very special. And I also want to tell the parents that are here how much I appreciate you, how proud I am of you for seeing to your kids' care in spiritual things. Because this is as important of class as they will ever have in their life. You can go to school month after month and year after year and take your 3 hours reading, writing, and arithmetic. But nothing is more important than what these guys have done here. Because what they learn here is something that is the very essence of who we human beings are. It's the very essence. And when the world is dumping on you guys, He promises He'll always be there. When life is turning south, when times are tough, when you lose your job, I think of Jabonski, 10th grader down the city, he's broke his back. I mean, when times are tough, and times will be tough, you better have something to fall back on and what you've started these last 2 years or 3 years, whatever we've had, is something you're going to have to fall back on. Arithmetic will help, but it might not help there. So thank you, parents, for caring enough for your kids and for knowing that this is the very essence of who we are as human beings traveling on this ball they call the earth. I was thinking about my confirmation class, 8th grade. There were maybe 27, 28 kids in there. My folks had moved us 4 or 5 years previously, but to another town. So all the kids in this class at this church in the other town, I was the outsider looking in. Out of the 27, 28 kids, there were maybe 15, 16 guys. I got the only A on my class. A minus. I cheated on my test. You know the old writing on the bottom of your shoe trick? The old cheat note? Right. What's the 8th commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness. I was smart. The pastor of this church cheated on their confirmation test. How bad is that? How terrible is it? You don't know how guilty I felt through the years. But I made a vow when I became a pastor, I would never have any kid of mine in my confirmation class cheat on their tests. So I never give tests. And you guys are still okay, I think. And you didn't... How many of you out there, when you did got confirmed, had to pass some kind of test? And then you had to stand up in front and answer questions. And I heard stories this week about if you didn't answer those questions, the kids thought they were going to be condemned to hell. Or they wouldn't be confirmed or something like that. I ask the kids questions. But it's because we've been in class for a number of years. They've learned lots of stuff. And anyone... I want to show you things that they've learned, things that we've learned. But more than that, so you'll hear me asking them about, asking them some questions. I've struggled with this meditation so much. I bet you I've asked all my Bible studies and different groups I've met with, what advice would you give to 5 young people who are professing their faith? One old curmudgeon, I'm looking to see if he's here. No, he's not here today. He said, you can't tell teenagers anything. They're not ready to listen to nothing. Sorry. We kind of laughed. We hoped we were wrong. I hope he's wrong. Another said, tell them that your faith life is going to ebb and flow. I mean, you're being confirmed. This isn't the end of everything. This is just the beginning of your faith walk, your faith journey, because it keeps going and going and going and going, you know. We've got in our congregation today Irene Long, who's 95 years old. She's still learning about her faith, and God's still using her. And she still has ups and downs. And you and I will still have ups and downs. I heard people say, tell them through the ebbs and flows when you're on fire for the Lord, and when you're leading a life of hellfire and damnation, when times get tough, God will always be there, and God will always be there for you, good times and in bad. I heard someone say, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you do that, as the psalmist said, God, know that God is going to be with you. God loves you. God loves you, guys. God loves you. And I can't say that too many times. Did I almost hear a praise the Lord out of a Lutheran church? So, you know, we gathered week after week after week, month after month for a number of years. And I taught you guys head knowledge, you know. I mean, you know about the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer and Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and that Moses received the Ten Commandments 1250 B.C. and Abraham is the first historical character, and the sacraments in the Lutheran Church are baptism and communion, and we're in the season of Easter. It lasts 7 weeks. Color is white. I mean, you guys know all of this stuff. You got the head knowledge, but it's not about the head. I can teach anybody in here about the head stuff. I wanted to teach you guys some wisdom, too. I got 3 new grandkids. I wish my grandkids would be born at age 12. Then I could teach them my wisdom. You guys became my grandkids. Sorry. I wanted to teach you that it was 10% what happens in life and 90% how you deal with it. I mean, stuff's going to happen. Are you going to get angry and get mad and stomp off and take your marbles and go home? Or are you going to look at it and deal with it and make some good decisions about it? It's 10% what happens, 90% how you deal with it. I tried to teach you that it's about the journey of life, not the end result. I cheated on my confirmation test. I wanted the A. I didn't think about my classmates and my teacher and wrestling with these Ten Commandments and why God would give them to us. I just wanted the A. I wanted my parents to be pleased. It's about the journey. It's about each day and enjoying each moment, enjoying today, you know, not the end result. I tried to teach you that life has to end. Love doesn't. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made each other feel. So how do we treat one another, you know? I tried to teach you some wisdom. You became my grandkids. I love you guys. I tried to grab your heart. You know, it's not about the head. It's about the heart. I taught you. If you guys have been in church, you'd hear some of my sermons as I pondered this stuff. Huh? We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. We live between the eternities. We're here to learn and to grow and to support and care. That's what the church is about. But we live between the eternities, and we're human beings or spiritual beings, born of God, of God. I wanted to teach you that, talk about brokenness, because I think I told you, you know, our brokenness. We're all broken. We're all misfits. I see you, Jill. Welcome, by the way. She's the pastor's wife, church up in Crosby. There's no one more misfit than you. And also with me. And that's the truth. All of us. I mean, we're all misfits, but God loves us. And he cares for us. And that's what the church is about, that we can help each other down the road. You know, my old grandma, I almost hate bringing up grandma again, but she told me, share a strength, have no friends. Share a weakness, have many friends. People, the guy who's jumping around, we're number one in the end zone. The guy who's fallen on the ground, people are gathered around to help him, you know. Share a strength, have no friends. Share a weakness, have many friends. We're a church. We look after each other. We're broken. It's not anything to be embarrassed about. It's a condition we have as human beings on this earth. We're all broken, and we're called to help each other. My older brother, Willie. Willie's an outlaw who found the Lord. You think I'm a character. Willie's really nuts. I'm going to have him preach here. No, I'm not. I asked him what he would say. He teaches two confirmation classes, one in a Missouri Synod church and one in his own church. Missouri Synod, they don't just let anybody in, but they let Willie in. I asked him what he would... Sorry for those of you Missouri Synod folks. I'm offending everybody here this morning. I'm sorry, Lord. Willie, I asked him what he would advice he would give. He said, just tell him that none of us gets out of this world without some pain. And it's true. The fellow that sang today, Randy, I like visiting people. And Randy's a new member to our community. He shared with me something that really affected me. By the way, we're all on our faith journeys. We all continue to learn. I've already said that about Irene, but I hope that's the same with you. And I've continued to learn. Randy said to me, you know, we have to model, you and I who are older, have to model the behavior for our kids. If you want your kids to love and to care for one another, you have to love and care for one another. If you want your kids to model patience and kindness and be relaxed, you have to be kind and patient and relaxed. That stuff, that's what kids listen to day after day, year after year, is your example. So if you wonder why your kids turn out different, just take a look at yourself. We have to model behavior. Long story short, enough. What I want to say to you young people, and what I want to say to all of you, is God loves you. God loves you unconditionally as you are. But he loves you enough not to just let you sit where you are. He wants to bring you to something more and something better if you let him. God loves you. You are special, special, special people in God's eyes. And if you believe that, if you live like God loves you, then I'll promise you this. When the hounds of hell are yapping at your heels, when you think it's all downhill, inside of you, if you know you're loved by God, you'll have this deep and abiding joy and peace and love in your heart. That'll bring you through more than anything else in the whole wide world if you know and remember that God loves you, that you're okay. So, you guys okay? Can I say any more? Doesn't get any better than that. Can I hear an amen out of the people? Ho, 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 ho. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, 781. We'll ask the ushers to receive our morning offering.
This time I would like to invite our five confirmands to come forward and take a place before our congregation. Why don't you face the congregation? Let me introduce you, in case you don't know. This is Eddie Simonson, Mallory, and her bigger, older Sasquatch brother. Mallory and Sam, and Will, and Holly. Like I say, I'm going to let them show you a few things that they learned. This is just the knowledge part. We studied Luther's Small Catechism. Luther, back in 1517, when the Reformation Church began, he found out that there was a big ignorance of the people. The people that didn't know anything about God because the priests had kept things to themselves. He said it's responsibility of every father to teach their family. So he wrote this small catechism. Catechism means teaching. Since then, the church has taken on some of the responsibilities. Anybody want to go first? Want to get out of the way? You come stand over here. Edmundo, stand up straight. Don't be laying back. I will ask you the questions. Let's just start with the seasons of the church year, okay? How do I stand? Sorry, Mallory's slide over. You can look into here, okay? So, how many seasons of the in the church year are there?
Six.
There's six seasons of the church year. This is in a liturgical church. The word liturgical or liturgy means people at work. There are liturgical and non-liturgical churches. We are a liturgical church. The Presbyterians, Methodists, Congregationalists, Catholics are all liturgical churches. The Baptists, the Assembly of God are not liturgical churches. So we have six seasons in the church here. We have colors on the altar. We have candles and all kinds of pictures on walls and stuff. You go to the non-liturgical churches, we have lessons that are designated in all the liturgical churches. And we have six seasons. So what's the first season of the church year?
Advent.
Advent. And so what color is the season of Advent?
Purple or blue.
And how long does the season of Advent last?
I think it's 4 weeks.
4 weeks is correct. We go, Advent is a time of preparation. So what do we prepare for?
The coming of Christ.
Coming of Christ. And so what season is that?
Christmas.
Christmas. Also, it's a time to prepare for the end times. So are you ready for the end times?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That happens right now. I'm not ready to get on the bus today. How long does Christmas last?
12 days.
And it's followed by what season?
Easter.
Nope.
Epiphany.
What is an epiphany? A realization. How do you spell epiphany? He's the best speller in school.
E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y.
Right. Last 4 to 7 weeks. Color is?
That would be green.
Correct. The last day of epiphany is?
Fat Tuesday.
Mardi Gras, if you speak French. And the next season is? Yeah, you got
Lent.
It. Lent. Lent starts on what day?
Ash Wednesday.
The last week is called Holy Week. Name three important days in Holy Week.
Monday, Thursday, Good Friday.
The Holy Week starts on a certain day. Jesus triumphantly marches into Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, good. 6 weeks. Actually, 6 weeks, yeah. Oh, yeah. How long does Lent last?
40 days, not including Sundays.
Correct. How do they determine the date of Easter?
It's.
Yeah, you're right. Looking at the moon.
Technically, it's always on a Sunday.
Help them. How do you determine the season of Easter, Holly? Spring solstice. Okay, yeah, tell me. First Sunday after the first full moon.
Yeah.
After?
After the spring solstice.
Okay, after the first day of spring. What's the last season of the church year?
Pentecost.
Okay, what color?
That would be green.
What is the day of Pentecost?
The day the Holy Spirit came down.
Yeah, okay. The color is red. What other day in the church year is red? Reformation. What day is Reformation?
Reformation was October 31st, 1517.
I'm spending too much time with you. Sammy. Sam, I'm going to give you dates, okay? Start beginning to end, or doesn't it matter?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. How about if I just hop all over?
Okay.
These guys wouldn't understand, though. Let's go to the earliest, okay? Who is the first historical character we have in the Bible?
Abraham.
What year?
2000 B.C.
Okay. Joseph is an amazing technicolor dream coat. What year?
1500 B.C.
What does B.C. stand for?
Before Christ.
Okay. So Joseph went to Israel. The Israelites proliferated. They threw him into slavery because they were getting too small. Who did God call to free him from slavery? Who was the guy?
Moses.
Correct. Someone out there even knew that. Moses, what year?
1250 B.C.
Okay. Greatest king in all of Israel?
Solomon.
Who, what was the year, date Jesus was born?
4 to 7 B.C.
Okay. What is the first, earliest book we have written in the New Testament? Anybody know? 1 Thessalonians, what year?
47 AD.
AD stands for?
Anno Domini.
We've got three creeds in the church here. We've got the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, and what else?
Apostles' Creed.
What year?
10 AD.
Actually, it's 180. That was a misprint on that paper. The preacher has to know something the kids don't know. All right, that's enough for that. Let's do Ten Commandments. What year did we get the Ten Commandments, Will?
1250 B.C.
Who did God give the commandments to?
Moses.
Okay. Where can I find them in the Bible?
Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5.
All right. I'll give you the number of the commandment. You tell me what it is, okay? What's the first commandment? What's the fifth commandment?
Thou shalt not kill.
What's the eighth commandment?
Thou shalt not lie.
Thou shalt not lie. Have you ever lied in your life?
Yes.
Would you like to confess later? Let's see. We talked about prayer. We talked about at least four examples of prayer. Tell me what... What's one style of prayer?
Adoration.
Now, what does adoration mean?
Praising God.
Praising God. So give me an example.
I love you, God.
All right. It's another example of prayer.
Confession.
That's what Will is going to do later. What happens when you have confession?
You're apologizing for your sins.
You're saying you're sorry for your sins, yeah. Are you sorry for your sins? Yeah. Okay. God, can you imagine her sinning? Anyway, okay, confession. What's another style of...
Thanksgiving.
Give me an example of Thanksgiving. What prayer do you say?
Come.
Sure.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed.
I thought you'd say that Catholic prayer. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to see from thy bounty. Oh, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thanksgiving, and what's another prayer?
Supplication.
Supplication, that's a $10 word. What does that mean?
Pray for someone else.
So if you were to pray for someone today, who would you pray for?
Will.
Good choice. You can see we had some fun. Holly, how many books are there in the Bible?
Which Bible?
How many books are there in the Bible? Which Bible? Which the Protestant Bible?
66.
How about the Roman Catholic Bible?
There's 8 more in the Roman Catholic Bible, so that's I can't add today.
Okay.
74.
Okay, 74. How many in the Old Testament?
39.
How many in the New Testament?
27.
What's the 20th book of the New Testament?
James.
What's the... we won't go there anymore. These guys know their stuff, okay? Holly, we have 2 sacraments in the Lutheran Church. What are they?
Communion and baptism.
Name 3 things that happen in baptism.
You're given like a starting point, and you're accepted into the body of Christ, and...
Should I ask someone else? Anybody know? Edmundo? 3 things that happen in baptism.
Well, I know one of them.
What?
You get water on your face.
What's the definition of a sacrament?
A commandment by God, or a commandment from Jesus using earthly materials to strengthen your faith.
Okay, so we got the water. What's the things we use in communion?
Water.
No, communion. Wine and bread. Okay. So, 3 things happen in baptism. 1 is our sins are forgiven. So you're okay. The second thing that happens is we become a member of the body of Christ. 3rd thing is if you live your baptism,
you get eternal life in heaven.
Get eternal life in heaven. Can we have a heaven now? We can have heaven now. You guys, you don't have to wait. You can see God at work now. You don't have to wait. God is present now. God is present here. You don't have to wait, okay? You can see God work now. So don't wait. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said. Repent. Change your thinking about that. You don't have to wait. The kingdom of heaven is present now. So look for God in each other. When you get, you know, look for God in your kids. Look for God in your spouse. Look for God. And you'll see God and you'll catch glimpses of heaven. They call that the now, not yet. Now we get glimpses, then we're going to experience full time. And when you get to that heavenly banquet, I'm just going to go right to the meat and potatoes. I'm going to forget the salad bar. You guys going to join me? Not today. Okay. Anything we forgot? Anything you want to share? Anything else? Piece of wisdom? Okay, now it's time to make your confession. So I'm going to ask you some questions. 2:35. You looked. I've got to say, this was probably the smartest class I've had, and talented. They could all go in the ministry and put me to shame. Affirmation of baptism. Okay, get my cheaters out. Let us pray. Oh, if you'd like to follow along, it's on page 234 of your hymnals. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for these sisters and brothers whom you have made your own by water and the word and baptism. You've called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold these people in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought forth to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. And so, you, young people, 5, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces of evil that defy God? If so, say, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? If so, say, I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, say, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? If so, say, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? If so, say, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, I believe. And so you have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. And people of God, do you promise to support these sisters and brothers and pray for them in their life in Christ? If so, say, we do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
We do, and ask God to help us.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. This time I'd like to invite the parents and sponsors, and we'll have a blessing for each one. Please come forward. Just wait, and we'll have your folks come first. We'll just go in order here, okay? You can kneel down. I'm going to invite you to come, and let's place our hands on Holly and ask God's blessing upon her. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you might be with Holly as she makes her confession as an adult member of your church. We pray that your Spirit might stir her heart, live with her now and forever, and that you might grant her the gift of wisdom, that she can go strong and use these gifts to share your love with all people. Bless her now and always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'd all place your hand on Will. Heavenly Father, you know that this is a big day in Will's life. We pray that your holy angels might protect him through all the changing experiences that he might face. We pray that you might fill him with love and joy and peace, and that he might have patience wherever he goes to bring that kind of life wherever he travels. Send your Spirit now. We pray it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just you right now. You can work with your brother and give him a blessing too, okay? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing to be with Sam. We pray that he might be filled with your Spirit of truth and love and joy. Allow him to use the gifts that you have blessed him with, that he might grow strong in you and be a leader in all he does. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mallory, why don't you come? Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing to be with Mallory. We thank you for the love and the joy and the peace that she brings. We pray that these gifts might continue to walk with her, and that she might grow in love and truth for you and for others. Send your Holy Spirit to watch over her, your holy angels to nurture her, that she might grow strong in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing to be with Ed today. We pray that his wisdom and knowledge might be used for good. We pray that his gifts and talents in music might bring joy to those he plays for. Forever. We pray that his heart might be filled with joy and love and peace. For we pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Parents can go back. Students, please come one last time. Notice every one of these students is taller than me. I was going to say something, but I don't need to. In here are your confirmation certificates. Also, there's four or five of the papers that you have filled out through the years to get your opinions and ideas and attitudes. Put those, you know, take a look at them today. Put them away. 30 years from now, when you have little ones coming to be big ones to be confirmed in a church, take these out and look and see what you said and what you were thinking and what you were feeling. You'll have a glimpse of what your kids are going through now. This is like time machine business. So you probably won't even remember I said this, but what this is a record of who you are these days, okay? It's like a time machine. So put him in a safe place and carry him with you, okay? I want you to know this church will always support you, will always love you, will always pray for you and want the best for you. You're always going to be a part of my life and the life of this congregation. And I hope that you include us in your life, okay? So congratulations. Go forth and prosper. Isn't that what Spock says? You guys don't even know Spock. All right, thanks. Hey, let's... Please rise. Let us turn to the prayers of intercession. Enlivened in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the life of the church, for those in need, and for all of God's creation. Holy reconciling God, open our hearts and minds to receive you in the scriptures and in the holy meal. Send us forth for the healing and redemption of the world. Hear us, O God. Renew areas of your creation where cold and dormancy is giving way to warmth and new life. Reveal your life-giving action throughout all of creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Usher in peace where lawlessness and disorder reign. Send your calming spirit to ease tensions and to encourage ways of living beyond conflict and oppression. Hear us, O God. Answer the cries of those who are ailing, who are brokenhearted, and who seek your mercy, especially those who we name in our hearts before you. Deliver them from affliction and turn their cries to shouts of praise. Hear us, O God. Be present at celebration tables, especially today, increasing the joy of those who gather for birthdays, weddings, and confirmation parties. Be present at empty tables, filling the hungry and the lonely with hope. Hear us, O God. We especially thank you for these confirmands who have come forth today to profess their love for you. We ask that you might send your Holy Spirit and send your holy angels to guide and keep them in your love and in your care. We thank you for their families and friends who gather. We thank you for this church that cares. We thank you for the lives and the talents and gifts that you have given to all of us who are here this morning. Allow us to continue to walk and grow in you. Remembering the lives of the saints who shared their faith with us, guide us by your Spirit to live in truth as we long for the day when we shall live in your fullness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Trusting in your abundant mercy, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray into your care through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in praying the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 669.